According to an article in the upcoming Business Week, 67% of all businesses eavesdrop on their employees, whether it's listening to phone conversations, breaking in, reading email, things like that. 67%. Doesn't end there, folks. In that same article, it says, every time you make an international phone call, the government is listening. The U.S. government. There's a system called Echelon, run by the super secret National Security Agency, a combination of spy satellites and sensitive listening stations. It eavesdrops on just about every electronic communication that crosses the national border. Phone calls, faxes, telexes, email, radio signals, shortwave signals. The article goes on to say probably the most frightening thing is that Echelon system listens in on most long-distance calls you make and cell phone calls you make right here within our own borders. Any call that bounces off a satellite is probably overheard by a government agent. Big Brother's watching. No matter what you do, if you're at work, at home, somebody is listening to what you're saying and what you're doing. Got a comment about it? 277-9600. How do you feel about it? Everything. You want to go call a relative in Canada or overseas being listened to. You want to go and correspond by email. Going to be read by a government agency. Somebody is listening to every single... There's no privacy. None whatsoever. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
How are you?
Now, listen, we got to keep this quiet, man, because they're listening.
Oh, they're hearing right now. They're, well, radio broadcast, anybody can pick that up, but you just calling on your phone. They can hear it.
All right, man, talk to you later.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, sir. First of all, do you have a source of information that you're getting this from?
Yes, I do. All you have to do is, as soon as I might even be on newsstands now, for the end of the month, May 31st, the magazine Business Week.
Well, I thought they had a little more sense than to print nonsense like that.
What do you mean?
I just want to tell you, I don't call radio programs, but I happened upon it yesterday, and what I heard, what you were talking about with businesses and snooping on their employees.
67%.
It sounds to me like a lot of hooey, and I think you're really doing a real disservice to the people of the community to make them think that this sort of thing goes on.
It goes on. It happens.
Well, it may well happen. But the point of this is,
you know,
this.
What? People are listening to your phone calls, sir. Not only just because you're calling your radio station, but you know, you go and make your phone calls, and people have government
you
is
know,
listening.
This point isn't is Russia. That there's a real problem today with security. We have to make sure, and if the government, the United States government, feels that it is necessary to listen in on the international calls, then more power to them.
How do you figure? Even
I've had it with people that just want to make America out to be the bad guy. Okay?
This is supposed to
now
be...
Now, look,
what?
If you're calling overseas, then you probably got some sort of reason for it, don't you?
It would be my business, though. It would be my reason to call overseas.
If your business interferes...
International
calls.
...interferes
with the security of the United States of America, then I want you stopped, mister. I'm an American citizen.
Right, and you should preserve your privacy. You should fight for your privacy.
You know, you got rocks in your head.
What do you mean? You should fight
you
for your privacy.
You got rocks in your head. You think it should be just easy enough? I happened to have retired down here several years ago, and maybe you don't remember it. But up at the University of South Florida, in Tampa, Florida, not 5 years ago, they were running a goddamn jihad out of there, sending money and information right back over there to Egypt or whatever.
We'll use other means to find that out. You don't have to go and
that
take a private person's
paper,
phone call.
My friend, it was in the paper.
I don't care.
And how'd they get that information? They used the telephone.
Oh, for crying out loud. Hold on. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm just trying to say that this old guy talking, I mean, how do you think the news press gets a hold of everything before anyone else?
Yeah, because do you think they're eavesdropping too?
I don't know, and I don't care. If you want to make fun of my opinion, that's fine. But I think you got rocks in your head if you don't think that the United States government needs to know what's going on international phone lines.
But now, who cares?
Yeah, that's right. It's an invasion of privacy, sir.
An invasion of privacy. I see. And so you're comfortable that the goddamn Chinese have every nuclear secret we have because of this long distance.
Oh, they didn't steal it with long distance. They were right here in this country taking that stuff.
To me, I'd cut it off.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, I've only got one thing to say about this whole thing.
What?
F the super secret service.
Yeah, that's right. It shouldn't be existing. Invasion of privacy.
Hey, listen, pal. America, love it or leave it.
Right, and it's because I love this country that I want to protect the rights that our forefathers saw.
If you think that our government doesn't have the right to know what's going on in the country.
Not on a private phone call and not on my personal stuff.
There should be no such thing. Otherwise, you got the door wide open. You may as well just have Moscow just tap right in here in Peking and Tokyo and
whatever, in
God's name, Iran.
Yeah. All right. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Stan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, why don't you tell that old coot that while he's worried about the government has a right to hear our phone calls, we had a right to hear when our leader was over on the phone with the Chinese selling all our technology.
That's right. You know,
You got a bunch of rat bastards calling in today.
What do you mean? He's right.
I'll tell you what. I don't respect the man, but I respect the office of the presidency. And what's wrong with you people?
What's wrong is the man selling out our country. And
he's
nobody
still
wants
your
to
president.
The
man may be a liar and a thief, but as long as he's the president of the United States, he deserves the respect.
Yeah, the respect to sell us out.
That's right. All right, buddy. You know, what is it with you? Well, who died and put you on your soapbox to go and attack what our forefathers said were our inalienable rights? We have a right to our privacy.
You've got no rights when it comes to national security.
Who says so? You?
I think any thinking person says you have no right.
I have rights. I happen to be a citizen of this country, and I'm entitled to privacy and to correspond as I see fit as long as I'm not breaking any law.
What do you have? You think that the government cares about you and then your phone call to Ottawa trying to call little Susie Rotten Crotch?
So what difference? I can call anybody I want to call. I can call anybody I choose.
And that's the problem.
And Big Brother, the government has no right to listen in on that.
They have every right.
They have no right.
Every right.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, get this guy off it.
He's a pain in the ass. You're a pain in the ass, sir.
It's about time that you people started respecting the law and respecting our country. Now, I have two sons.
Who cares about your two sons?
They're age 30 and 26.
Yeah?
And I turn them in for dope smuggling.
But you're a parent. You found that out. You're not a government agency eavesdropping on people's personal phone calls and communications.
As an American citizen, it is my duty to protect this country.
You still think you're in the military? You're a private retired citizen. What are you collecting Social Security now?
I have the privilege to serve in the military. I am a patriot, no matter. I can't. You know what?
I can't get through.
I happen to be a prostate cancer survivor. You hear me? Worked for Mutual of Omaha Insurance for 37 years, and then I get prostate cancer, and I'm trying to talk some sense into a couple idiots. Damn it!
Goodbye. I can't.
It's that time again, Dugan. In 3 minutes, I'm gone, and this place belongs to you. So move it, baby.
Don't stop.
Started with the Crystal Age. It moved to the Golden Age. And now, welcome to the Solid Platinum Age.
Good morning, Los Angeles. It's great to be a winner, and aren't we all?
And this is FM, the motion picture that takes you inside your radio.
To the sound of the hot country band.
This is Mother on Q Sky FM, Los Angeles.
Eric Swan.
What it is this.
We're the number two station and the second largest market in the United States, and we're not making any money.
For those of you who never knew, for those of you who've never forgotten, for those of you who really don't give it.
Competition might be putting on the Ronstadt concert, but Q Sky is going to steal it and air it live on FM.
FM. Even if the story isn't completely true, it's only because you wouldn't believe what really happens.
We got the best damn station there is.
That's not the point.
What is?
Profits.
And what do they care about our audience? What do they care about music? All they care about is money.
The entire staff of Q Sky Los Angeles are now going on strike!
FM, featuring the music of America's hottest rock stars, with special concert appearances by Linda Ronstadt and Jimmy Buffett.
Are you listening to Q Sky, my little darlings?
Girls don't see
you. FM. Coming at you soon. At the speed of
as
sound.
As long as the mood is right. No
heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it's so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. On all afternoon.
Starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplanes. Stan and Haney are still not afraid. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody. Stan and Haney. I'm gonna tell you right now, I loved hearing that theatrical promo for the movie FM.
Although it sounded like it was mixed for AM radio.
Of course. It was mono. But a couple of things. Somebody...
Anybody got any love for this one?
Somebody sent us
anybody?
A listener. Sent us a copy of it. A personal copy from VHS. Now, and it got me thinking, so I'm looking at clips of it on YouTube and stuff. So I say to Zito, if we do a Stan and Haney movie night like we did for Fast Times at Ridgemont High, what a perfect film for Stan and Haney movie night. If anybody, I don't think you can get your hands on a true theatrical copy of that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you can.
I've seen it within the past 10 years.
I have, too.
But as far as getting an actual film of it?
Well, even like when we watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the era of film in theaters is going away too, but they have their big discs that are able to go and show the theatrical version in widescreen on the big screen.
Well, Fast Times was a much bigger movie than FM.
I would, and I was talking to D-Train about how big was that in the late 70s when it came out. I said it was big, but the soundtrack was bigger. It was everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I own that soundtrack on vinyl. And it would be, and it was a phenomenon, and you can't get the soundtrack either.
You know, I meant to tell you about this, but it sort of ties in. There is a documentary out now. I think you can get it on Amazon, if not other places as well. And the premise of the documentary is pretty simple. You and I learned, I don't know if they still teach it today, in history, about the big gold rush to the Yukon.
Yeah.
There was this little town way up in Canada in the gold mining territory.
Yes.
You know all about it?
I'm familiar with it, yes.
Called Dawson City.
Yes.
And the only thing that made Dawson City unique was that it was very much a frontier town. And during the gold rush, it went from maybe two or three people lived there to 40,000 miners.
Yeah.
The thing that it had is it was the end of the line for the railroad. And to support the miners, this pop-up town had movie theaters.
Yep.
And obviously this is going way back, you know, silent pictures. And because they were the end of the line, they were not either required or inclined to return the prints of the films that they received. And at some point, somebody realized that the theaters, at some point in time, had simply buried every film. It would be like your local theater. Hey, what came out that week?
Mm-hmm.
Years and years of this buried in the tundra so that they were somewhat preserved. And a lot of these were films they thought were completely destroyed. They knew that they'd been made, but they'd never seen a cut of them.
Most
and then they showed
silent
up.
Films are no longer in existence. Simply the film that they shot it on, it was a corrosive, decayed, and fell apart. And most films made during the silent era, only a small fraction of the movies.
So this was like a treasure trove. Yeah. Of film history.
Yeah.
And they made a documentary about it.
I want to see that. How I know about that.
The documentary is called, I think, Dawson City.
Dawson City, because they already had the 1800s gold rushes and all that, and people, prospectors, were looking for the next big gold rush town, and it was up in the Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
Guy by the name of Tex Rickard, who... I guess
sounds like someone who would be a flunky of your dad.
Yeah, well, he is the equivalent today of Don King or Bob Arum.
Mm-hmm.
He went and swindled people and did things before he became a boxing promoter. But he was the first promoter to have million-dollar gates in the 1920s and the teens. When money was money,
mm-hmm.
And he was one of the original people that went to Dawson's, whatever it is, there in the Yukon, and was selling out plots for the Yukon gold. And by the time the first claimants, the ones that wanted a prospect up there, by the time they took that railroad and got up there, most of it had already been cleaned out.
Oh, yeah.
And when people came up there to start a new life, most of the gold was already gone.
Yeah, the money that was made in the gold rush was made by selling shovels and pans.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. So here's what we need. We need somebody that must have been in the movie business in the 70s. Somebody that was in the movie business. Do we know anybody that can go and contact their people? Some of the people.
Well, they've all been taken over by the Chinese.
To find out if there is a copy, a theatrical copy of FM to show in the movie theater. And like we did at with the Beach Cinema down there, to find that and show it. The people that are in the movie, Linda Ronstadt concert in the movie, mm-hmm. A Jimmy Buffett concert in the movie.
Yep.
They had Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in the studio being interviewed.
Yep.
I mean, that stuff is so good.
That's what we were promised.
That's what we were promised. And the whole premise of the movie is that they're a radio station in L.A., very successful. In the ratings.
Sky FM.
They're just not making any money. And so the suit and ties come in and start talking about selling more commercials and less music. And then all the, which is ridiculous because we're non-union here, but union now. They all go on, the DJs go on strike.
Yep. And there's a big demonstration.
Yeah.
Big protest.
Yeah, with signs and all that.
It's about the music, man.
It's about the music. This station is as much yours as it is ours. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Good luck with that.
Oh, and speaking of that, we got our poster of Phoebe Cates up here in the studio. And I know if we do, when we do live stuff in here, you see it. I'm sorry to say, and I got a good close-up because I kissed it before the show. It's starting to fade out. It is losing just a touch of its luster.
Well, it happens to all of us, doesn't it?
It does. It's starting to fade out. Maybe we can find the guy to get us a new one. get a new one put up there because it is starting to fade.
She is just delightful.
She is absolutely delightful. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do the grab bag. And, of course, Smarter Than Haney today. This is the Stan and Haney program.
The battered bastards of Beasley Broadcasting.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Coming up on the show, we're going to do the grab bag here. And then in about 1 hour, we're going to play another edition of Are You Smarter Than Haney? I will tell you, for today's edition, we are opening up a new cello pack of questions. So there, but I will also
add... Stan, I believe that's pronounced cello.
Cello pack. of questions, but unfortunately, this one will once again include arts and literature.
I don't think I've ever heard of cello.
Yeah, that's a trading card thing where you're.
I understand cellophane, yeah, but I've never heard it referred to as cello
in the baseball card world.
Inside talk,
industry talk.
Yeah,
it's part of the baseball card industry.
It's
cello
something
pack.
That only really a game show host would know.
Yeah. Speaking of questions,
what?
I got one for you.
What?
Where were you going earlier?
What are you talking about? What time?
What did he say?
Where were you going earlier?
I went and grabbed some lunch. Why? Why aren't you inquisitive?
Did you invite him? Did you offer to pick him?
No, he wasn't here.
I wasn't here yet. You know how, Haney, you know how every once in a while when something annoys me, I do a little monologue in my car and I post it on my YouTube channel?
Yeah. We all know that.
Happens from time to time.
Well, yeah. I was trying to do one today and I was...
Happens a lot.
Something peculiar happened.
What are you talking about?
Roll them.
All right, roll them.
Who are these type of people who think it's a great idea to go shopping at a gas station barefoot? I mean, it's a freaking good... What... Stan, what are you listening to?
What the? Busted. Did you not know I was recording?
I didn't know it was you. What the hell? Hey.
So all this talk.
Am I right, Dietrich?
Hey, yeah. Hey, all this talk, all this slamming about Dave and his song.
Wait, Tom, what do you mean? What do you... Destroy that.
Oh, it's posted. You can't destroy that. It's all over.
I was out getting lunch today. What are you talking about? Can a guy listen to his own radio in his car? Jeez.
Well, to be fair, you weren't featured on the song, so it's not as bad as Dave doing it. But with all the crap talking you do about that song, I was a bit surprised to find out that you were listening to it on your own private
time. It's a certified hit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a bottle of booze up there?
Yeah. Ooh. Hold it.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. This is Texas Silver Star whiskey, 80 proof.
Any beaver glands in that?
I'll bet you.
And
I'm going to tell
Friday?
You something.
Seal.
It's not. It's full, but it looks like. Let me just see. I get the microphone down here because this is the good stuff. It's corked. It's been the seal.
Can I get a little whiff of that?
Has been. That's. I can just tell by the smell.
You want to have a
smooth
pull?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Just have a little taste. D-Train, get that guitar out of the tree. Let's have some.
Just take a little whiff of that. Doesn't that smell good?
That smells like catered brandy. Oh, that's nice.
I know it's nice.
Oh, that's real nice.
Yeah. What's it doing in here?
Yeah, who's
this? There's no place for nice things in here.
I'm serious. This is like teasing the disease right here. I want to pull from that.
I know, man. Why don't we just...
why don't we get three glasses like gentlemen?
Yeah. Why can't we do it like gentlemen?
You know, like gentlemen. And
go two fingers.
Do a little sip and whiskey.
Yep.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Make it like the Old West. You could play bartender.
Yeah.
D-Train and I will come in and go, yeah, I want a drink. And you've got the one bottle. That's all you get.
The beautiful state of Texas is a great place to make whiskey. Through the changing of the seasons, we experience a vast range of temperatures.
That smelled pretty good.
Those changes caused the wood in whiskey barrels to expand and contract.
Ooh, I like that voice.
During the hot summer months.
You could sell mufflers or power tools with that voice.
Pressure builds in the barrel and the alcohol pushes its way into the crevices.
And then the next thing you know, you grab that old Ivor Johnson shotgun.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that beautiful?
That is real nice.
You know what? We got cups up here. There's nothing wrong about doing a little sipping.
There's nothing.
We're just sipping.
Yeah, it's just sipping whiskey for the nerves. It's like a tonic.
That settles the shakes.
Yes, it does.
You know, I think we've been here long enough where they might just look the other way and go, best just to...
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. We wouldn't be the first ones here at this building drinking on the air.
Oh, no.
Of course, that's a tradition that goes way back.
Let me tell you something. Because back in the old morning show days, thankfully, we've hired a little better quality of staff over the years.
Yes.
But somehow it fell to me that if the morning show was a hockey team, somehow I became the enforcer.
Yep.
I was the one that would go and find the hidden bottles and confront people.
No joke. Hidden bottles in the desk drawer. We'd get a gift of like vodka or whiskey and we'd hand it to the producer to put it away and we'd go check on it to bring it home that day and half of it would be gone.
Well, that was one thing, but when they started bringing their own...
Yes! Grab bag.
And then you... Haney, take him out of here.
You gotta do something about it, Haney.
Take him out of here.
It's your job. And you would take care of it. You didn't like it.
I really didn't. I didn't think it was my job, but at that point, I really couldn't argue about it.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
See? You're not the first D-Train. Now it's D-Train's job.
Yep. Pewter Mug, US 41, North Naples.
Sure could use some of that tater brandy.
It's so good tasting.
It's just calling to you now, isn't it?
It sure is. It smells so good. You see this 8-year-old whose video has gone viral?
No.
It's an 8-year-old girl.
Can't keep track of all the viral videos.
She's got the drumming skills. Here she is, 8. Behind the kit, drumming along to Led Zeppelin. 8.
Good girl.
Yeah.
You want some ice cream?
Yeah. All right. You know what? I think Trump was saying that the economy is so good.
How good is it?
That there are more jobs than people. And so what happens? You got to start hiring the bottom of the barrel. A woman in Oklahoma named Rachel Tyler got a new job waiting tables. She got arrested on her first day, obviously fired and arrested because she was caught her first day skimming customers' credit cards. Here's Officer Megan Morgan, who had to make the arrest.
A manager, I guess, recognized that this person appeared that they were swiping the card through the machine and then also swiping the card maybe down in something else. And looked back at the footage and saw that in several instances, the suspect in this case, who also just started that day, this was her first day there, had been swiping customers' credit cards through the machine, through the computer, and then also seemed to be swiping it in some kind of credit card skimmer that she had on her person.
Mm. What are you so surprised about over there? Who's that's her? That's the skimmer? Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Someone's been to the tanning bed a bit much.
Yeah, and somebody...
Well, she has to.
Somebody has a lot of energy, too, and has a habit to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
We've had them here. I know the store that I used to go to has since closed down, but every place, you know, like gift shop, has these novelty sodas. There are companies that make novelty sodas. I have one at home that I bought that I thought was pretty interesting. It was Stalin soda, and it has a picture of
tribute to Stalin.
Yeah. And we got a couple here.
That's probably big on college campuses.
Look at what we got right there. A Muammar Gaddafi soda right up on the windowsill. And they were they're novelty sodas. And they have companies that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a woman in Utah named Kate Boyle is just steaming mad. Why?
Why?
Because she went into her local small neighborhood grocery store down the soda pop aisle and saw some novelty sodas. And she saw this clear cola that was called Nazi Cola.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not find the humor at all.
We were having some friends over for a party, and I saw the soda lined up at Macy's, and I thought, oh, this looks really fun. And then I saw this one, and I looked at it, and I thought, what is this? And I was like, Nazi Cola. And someone said, you need to have a better sense of humor. And I thought, nobody needs to have a sense of humor about this.
No.
I don't think it's a matter of a sense of humor when 6 million people are murdered.
Oh, please.
Not ever going to be funny. The Nazis came to power because people were desensitized by things like this.
Gaddafi soda.
And I thought, I don't want Utah to become desensitized.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with people?
Apparently the... Oh, yeah, yeah.
My grandpa died also in Auschwitz. He fell from a watchtower.
Oh. The company also makes Leninade and Orthodox juice. You know,
har, har, hearty, har, har.
Haney, right again. I'm going to say it right now. Right again.
Thank you.
Scientists in...
See, I have to wait for you to tell me because it could be one of dozens of things.
Scientists in Norway found that Norwegian men are, in fact, getting dumber by an average of 7 IQ points with each passing generation. And that is not the only place on the globe that it is happening.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
100% true.
You are interested in seeing what flipped Kim Jong-un to see it our way? I got a clip of the Trump film. The film that he showed Kim Jong-un in their meeting, this is actually part of the film.
A new world can begin today. One of friendship, respect, and goodwill. Be part of that world.
where the doors of opportunity are ready to be opened. Investment from around the world, where you can have medical breakthroughs, an abundance of resources, innovative technology, and new discoveries. What if? Can history be changed? Will the world embrace this change? And when could this moment in history begin? It comes down to a choice. On this day, in this time, at this moment, the world will be watching, listening, anticipating, hoping. Will this leader choose to advance his country and be part of a new world? Be the hero of his people? Will he shake the hand of peace?
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Because he likes everything American. He likes the basketball. He likes the clubs, the casinos. And, you know, mm-hmm. he likes all the good life that his people don't have. And Trump shows him to say, hey, this could be all yours over there. And he had just jumping up and down. Ooh.
You know, remember, he hasn't spent his whole life in North Korea.
No, he has not.
He went to school in Europe.
And knows about the good life.
And he's very fond of a certain type of cheese.
Yep.
Likes the finer things.
Yep. It's true. So much so that things are moving so fast. I guess North Korea has a tourism ad, huh?
Visit beautiful North Korea for rest, relaxation, and radiation. You'll be blown away by our beaches and artillery. And enjoy premium television with options like state TV or off. And you won't believe the all-you-can-eat buffet. It's just the photo. That's why you can't believe it. Beautiful North Korea, the people's paradise. Yeah. Travelocity.com says, please send back our gnome. We're worried.
Ah, yeah. You know, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. The only thing when Stephen Colbert was like on The Daily Show, or he had the Colbert Report on.
That was good.
The thing that I liked about that show was when he would do his interviews with notable people, and of course, cut and splice and just make it look.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't necessarily like the subject matter here, but he does it better than anybody. So last night, he took George Stephanopoulos' interview with the president and put his questions in, and it made it look like he was interviewing President Trump. See, he used to interview Trump, but he don't dare ask him now. But this is what he came up with. It's pretty funny, if you can understand that it's not true.
President Trump, thank you for sitting down with me in Singapore. Now let's get to it, sir. What was it like meeting Kim Jong-un?
I met him, I've spoken with him, and I've met him.
But have you spoken to him?
I've spoken with him.
Well, it sounds like you two met. And what was your takeaway after meeting him?
His country does love him, his people, you see the fervor, they have a great fervor.
Yes, they cheer for him as if their life depends on it. So how would you describe the deal that you signed?
I don't think a deal could be softer.
I see. And what if this deal emboldens Kim Jong-un and he starts a nuclear war?
I'll say, gee, I made a mistake. That's always possible.
Ultimately, sir, if this meeting with Kim blows up in your face and it turns out you've been played by an evil dictator in order to give him credibility on the world stage, whose fault is that?
The Prime Minister of Canada.
It's all not true, but, you know, he's good at doing that.
Yep, him and Dickie Goodman.
Yes! Yes! He was the best, Dickie Goodman. He was the best. The grab bag has been brought to you by the Pewter Mug, US 41 North Naples. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, find out what's on your mind. You contribute to the show. Who knows? We can give you a prize. We've got some nice prizes. Later on in the 3 o'clock hour, the lovely Karen will join us as we play another edition of Are You Smarter Than Haney? I had a real problem last week. You know, I don't know. I understand sometimes people that challenge you, they're nervous. They sometimes their mind isn't working the way it's supposed to work. But at least have some general knowledge. The player last week did not get a single one right and had numerous opportunities.
Am I ever allowed to have a week where I just blank?
Yeah, I know. Well, you had one a couple of weeks ago, the first time you lost in about 5 years.
Yeah, but I mean, losing is one thing. Not getting one category is another.
Not getting one category is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
But what was the prize?
It was Adventure Island.
Yeah. Guy doesn't need to know anything about history to know he wants to go to Adventure Island.
Brainstem again.
That's what he wanted. That's what he got.
Can I also
say... I'd say that's pretty smart.
I don't know the intertwinings of it, but we have a new system. Because I always say you cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. Let me tell you how good this system is. It's an actual program. So as soon as D-Train takes your name and starts putting it in the computer, it will flash at him that, no, stop, this person has won in the last 30 days. And you have to tell him, hey, you can't win. It's right in the rules. You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. It shows up, you know, a week ago you won this. Somebody tried to be a little crafty, I guess, and I heard some of the overflow. Just change the spelling of their name. Doesn't work. Still came up, found out that he was just trying to pull a fast one. Doesn't work.
It certainly won't get past our Iron Dome defense system.
Nope, that's right. We'll be back. 96
K-Rock. Hey, it's Bubba the Love Sponge. Check me out mornings right here on 96 K-Rock from 6 till 10 a.m. Now back to my boys, Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Our phone lines are open. Area code 239-277-9600. Of course, that area code thrown out there for if you're outside of our immediate area across this great land of ours and would like to call into the show. We'd love to hear where you're calling from. People listen to us all over the country, all over the world. And if you're the first-time caller to the Stan and Haney Show and you tell us where and how you're listening to us outside of our immediate area, we'll give you a stick pin. If you're in our immediate area, you could pick up a prize if you contribute to the show. I was talking last break about how we got the new system in there that can spot these people that try to win something in less than 30 days.
You're talking about our Iron Dome defense system?
Yes. Somebody likes bragging about this, and of course, evidently a longtime listener back to the analog days where we didn't have computers. Absolute Law text line. Well, Stan, you remember, it was not always that way. I remember in 1987 and 88, I won over $1,500 in cash and prizes in 1 year from K-Rock, including a Nintendo gaming system. He's the reason why.
So you want me to put that phone number in our system so he can
put it in?
Enter that into the Iron Dome.
Yep, put that right into the Iron Dome. 277-9600. I'll go over the prizes in just a second. Haney, it's amazing I did not know about this until after the fact because certain news organizations don't like to report on stuff like this because it gives the left a bad name. Good news, though. Dateline, Memphis, Tennessee, the Hermitage, the restored tomb of President Andrew Jackson and his wife, Rachel Jackson, was unveiled to the public in a special ceremony Sunday afternoon at Andrew Jackson's Hermitage. Why were they unveiling a restored tomb?
the restoring of the tomb comes after unknown vandals desecrated the tomb with black and red spray paint on the evening of April 26th. This act of vandalism was unprecedented. They sprayed stuff, obscenities and symbols all over the National Historic Landmark. They still haven't caught the vandals.
You know what Andrew Jackson would do to those punks? Yep.
Now, this is the only time, get a load of this, and this is the world that we live in. This is only the only time in the 186-year history of the tomb that anybody went up there and vandalized it. The Hermitage had to, along with the Andrew Jackson Foundation, sought the advice of leading conservators from across the United States and hired one of the most renowned stone conservation companies to do very delicate work. The company called Conservation of Sculpture and Objects Studio in Forest Park, Illinois, had to come. The company had to use advanced laser ablation to remove the paint from the soft Tennessee limestone.
They're actually, with ablation, they're actually removing part of the stone.
Yes, to restore the tomb. It was the same method that was used to clean the marble facade of the U.S. Supreme Court and the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., because it was so disfigured with graffiti, obscenities, and other symbols that were spray-painted with black and red paint. After 186 years and no problem, the Hermitage has now installed video cameras to keep a constant eye on Andrew Jackson's tomb.
What are we going to do? Because we know what the problem is. The problem is higher education. And they're all tenured.
Yep.
And they're...
You got to wait till they die off.
Well, but they're still being replaced by more like them, the ones that they've created.
They're just making this president be just a dirt bag.
I did not realize how bad it had gotten with higher education. When it became crystal clear to me is when we were having a very benign conversation about, oh, well, is that a constitutional issue? We had on someone from FGCU.
Yep.
And he started spouting like he's Karl Marx.
Yep. And truly believed it. And I was saying to you outside, I went to college a long, long time ago.
And it was there, but they hadn't quite taken over.
Precise. Well, we thought in the mid-80s that the university was very liberal. A left-leaning university system. If those professors were here today...
Oh, they'd be run out.
Because they'd be moderate.
Mm-hmm.
They would be moderate. And we thought back then it was left. It has changed so much. It has changed so much. 277-9600. Here's what we have for you.
And that's your answer as to why it had never been vandalized before.
186 years, Haney. The Hermitage was built before Andrew Jackson and his wife passed away. Their tombs were the centerpiece of where he lived. So he had the Hermitage built years before he passed away, but he knew that he and his wife would be entombed on his property.
Boy, did he love Rachel.
Yep. And 186 years, no problem. We have, you want to go see Weezer and the Pixies at the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater? We got tickets. Food. We got a lot of food this week. $20 to Subway. We also have $50 to Two Sisters Vietnamese cuisine. We have $50 to the pewter mug. We also have a complimentary auto health check from our friends at Naples Nissan. Doesn't matter what kind of car you have, they'll change the oil, brake check, top off the fluids, tire rotation, multi-point inspection. We have HD tuner for your car, tickets to go see a miracle game, Haney bobblehead, signed by me. Haney won't touch it. I heard from Ron from Coastal Cooling. He specifically texted me to see if we can get him a Haney bobblehead because his fell over and your head got chopped off.
Well, we heard that happened to one of yours
yesterday. So I told him on Friday, I'll give it to Dave.
I got a surprise for him on Friday.
Good. One that will catch him off guard, I hope.
One I think you'll enjoy.
Good. That's what I care about. 277-9600. What do you got for us, Haney?
Well, nothing but the best. This is for you, buddy. You ready?
Doing the Hucklebuck. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Clark, Stan. How are you?
Hi, Clark. Welcome to the broadcast. Say hi to my friend Haney.
Hi, Haney. How are you today?
Hello, Clark.
What can we do for you, buddy?
Well, I heard you talking about the, you know, how liberal these colleges, the higher education has become. And I substituted here in the Collier County school system, all grades back in 2005 and six, quite a bit, as a part-time job, in addition to whatever else I was doing at the time. And I did it a lot. I think the first year, 120 days, and the second year, maybe half of that. And it's been going on a long time in even the, you know, these local school systems, middle school on up into high school.
Well, what happens now, and it happened when Haney and I were in school, but it happens more frequently now, you will be in class and the textbooks are taken off your desk and new ones are handed out where they revise what you've been taught. And if you go and tack that on, that it's changed every couple of years, and go back 25 years,
the entire,
a lot of changes.
The entire narrative of how America came to be is taught entirely in a different manner.
And D-Train probably knows about this because he has educators in his family. Didn't we go through a whole discussion that history isn't even taught in American history, isn't even taught in school or social studies?
Yeah, they basically teach enough of a paragraph to get you to pass the Florida exams.
So yeah, well, and what's being taught is that, you know, the genocidal white people that took over this country and destroyed all of the native peoples and slavery, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Clark, what can we get you?
Well, I told D-Train I won a prize from you within the last 30 days.
Okay, you're honest.
I just wanted to comment on that, and
I'm glad you did.
Thank you, appreciate it.
All you have to remember about what you just said, 4 years ago when I started working here, a gentleman called in, explained it was right around graduation time. His daughter was the valedictorian of her high school. He asked her who was on the Allies and the Axis in World War II and when it was. She thought it was roughly around 1974, and it was the Americans, Canadians versus the Vietnamese and the Koreans.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, she's a valedictorian. She's a smart girl, but
she just wasn't given the information.
Exactly. She excels in the information which she has taught, which we turned that into a question. We had parents ask their kids that same question, and most of them didn't know the answer.
And let me give you something right now, and I'm just going to say this, and it has nothing to do with, well, it does. They just discovered, I don't know if you saw it on the Daily Mail, they discovered some of Albert Einstein's notes and writings that he made. Now, is anybody within the sound of my voice who see that picture of the old man, big mustache, crazy hair, smoking a pipe, one of the world's greatest geniuses, and looked upon the world as a great man? Well, they're finding diaries and notes that he kept. He was extremely racist. And they're publishing it.
Well, that
it
means
right
we cannot use his formulas.
His main target of racism, not the black, not the Hispanic, Asians. And he wrote extensively about that. Oh my God! If the Asians ever took over the world, we're doomed.
Yeah, he was reading Nostradamus. Because Nostradamus, in one of his quatrains, predicts the yellow man will rule the world.
And so they're probably, Albert Einstein now, racist. Why don't historians of today look at the culture and morals of the time? Yes, we know it's horrible, racism or anything, but that was the way things were back then, and most people didn't know it was wrong stating their opinions.
There is such a disconnect when you hear from people that are anti-Christian and pro-Islam, yet they're trans or gay.
Yeah.
Do they not really understand what the hell's going on?
One more call, then we got to make way for Karen and Are You Smarter Than Haney? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's on your mind, buddy?
You guys were talking about needing to know somebody in the movie business, and you both know somebody that knows everybody in Hollywood.
Who's that?
A.B.
Oh, my God!
It's true.
That just sours me. That sours me something fierce. Let me take one more. I got time for one more here.
Didn't AB drive the moon buggy right up onto the rocket ship?
Yes, he did. He sure did. And his uncle had all the patents for the marijuana cigarettes that they will sell in vending machines.
Oh, yeah, with Marlboro branding.
Yep.
And didn't he get Molly Ringwald pregnant?
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, guys. This is Steve. How you doing?
Steve, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just wanted to comment about what you guys were talking about as far as education and what you learn and what you don't learn in college. And it's interesting because I work with a lot of young people who are college educated, but let me give you an example. So one day we're having a conversation and I mentioned something about Vladimir Putin, and this young guy I work with, I mean, really nice guy, but just he didn't know who Vladimir Putin was.
What?
Just didn't know who he was. I mean, it was shocking. It was shocking to me, and you find a lot of that. I mean, I feel like basically
Maxine Waters knows who Putin is.
I can go prove this. Go around wherever you work. Ask your coworkers. Simply ask the question and find out how many don't know who's the Vice President of the United States of America. And I will guarantee you. 50%, if not higher, 60-70%, if not higher, will not know who the current Vice President of the United States of America is.
Do you think they'd be able to name a Vice President?
Yeah, it's the truth. Hey,
I always go with Agnew.
Yeah, can I get you something?
Yeah, I would love to go to the pewter mug.
Absolutely, done deal. Hold on. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get one lucky Stan and Haney listener to go head-to-head with Mark Haney in Are You Smarter Than Haney? Up for grabs, your choice. Either a pair of tickets to go see Weezer and the Pixies, or a pair of tickets to Adventure Island in Tampa, the water park, to try out Vantage Point. We'll do it next. We're Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Welcome to the broadcast. Wednesday afternoon, about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. But right now, it is time to play Are You Smarter Than Haney? Six categories. First person to get all six will win. The lovely Karen has once again joined us.
Yes,
you got our sunshine in the studio today.
And I'll say that. You know,
look at that smile.
Yep, there are certain people who will come into the studio. You're one of them.
Bok choy
was that just brighten the room up.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Makes us feel good because most of the time we're miserable. But you do. You. I have not seen a time where you don't have a smile on your face.
She's just got it together.
Rare.
Positive outlook.
Thank you.
You know, everything's going so well for you. And she was telling me about how she was once a key holder at a retail store.
Yes.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I started out as a cashier and worked my way up.
Key holder. First key holder, too, I might add.
I refused it.
You could have been, but you refused it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted me on a management track.
Sure.
But it really insulted them when I said, you know, I don't see this as a career.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the people there that did see it as a career, I was known as a cancer in that store, and they had to go and be rehabilitated. One guy was on track to become a district manager and got busted down to being an assistant due to my influence.
Because you affected him.
Yep.
Up for grabs today, either a pair of tickets to go see Weezer and the Pixies, or a pair of tickets to go to Adventure Island, the water park in Tampa, to try out the new ride. Vanish Point.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know. I heard Vanishing Point.
Or just Vanish.
Vanish. I don't know. But I want to show everybody here. New.
Ooh.
Taking the cellophane off.
Oh, yes.
New set of questions we are bringing back for the next couple of weeks. I'm sorry, arts and literature. Mm. But I think this pack has easier questions than some of the ones we've had before, so it might be a wash. No worry.
Well, it doesn't bother me either way.
We shall see.
You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days.
Where are you getting these from?
I have them. Don't worry. Well, Guardian got me a lot of them. Can't have won anything in the last 30
days.
So
do you have sealed packs hidden away?
A couple more left. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Right. Couple of more left.
Is geography back?
Yes, it is.
See, I knew I was right to hang in there on that.
And the first person, either Haney or the listener, to get to all six, Karen is your lifeline. She will answer a question for you before we ask it, if it's a category that you personally don't want to answer, or if you're like the guy last week and everything he tried, it was a losing question. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this.
Damn the rock and roll.
Back when Stan was a circuit preacher.
Yeah, you'll hear this. Incorrect. Taking too long. Lose. Let's play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
Damn you, the rock and roll!
You are smarter than me. I would like to see you. Can try it, Stan's got prizes, yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me, it's not easy, it's hard work. Stan's trick questions, what a f***ing jerk. All those prizes, yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Haney. You're a contestant, Stan's the host. I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius, you're the slob. I must beat you, that's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
277
9600. You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. We're going to take a random Stan and Haney listener. That does not necessarily mean the first person who calls in. If the phone line sounds crappy or you're unattentive, we'll move on to another caller. Karen.
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. 277-9600.
Stan, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? Captain D's or Arthur Treacher's?
Oh, Arthur Treacher's. No doubt about it. Ahoy, who's this?
I'm Ahoy, gentlemen.
No.
After last week, should we hit him with a qualifying question?
Not a bad idea. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, this is DJ from Fort Myers.
Your name is DJ?
BJ.
BJ. What's that? What's that?
Or is it TJ?
TJ?
CJ.
C as in Christopher.
CJ. CJ. Oh, all right, CJ. Have you won anything from us in the last 30 days?
No, sir.
Would you like to play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
I'd love to.
All right, we're going to give you a trial question.
He sounds reasonably intelligent,
Stan. He does sound reasonably intelligent.
Thank you.
Let's see. According to criminal law, what is the minimum number of people necessary for a riot? 3, 7, or 10?
I would say 10.
Sorry. I'll let you play. It's actually 3. are you familiar with the game?
Yes, sir.
All right. Karen's your lifeline. Six categories. Oh, yeah, please greet each other. That's fine. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. Haney, we'll begin, as always, with you. Pick a category.
People and places.
Science and nature.
No, it's geography.
People and places?
Yeah. Geography.
Wild card.
Yes.
Don't even get that. Haney.
Geography.
In geography. What is "Watch Out" in German and part of a U2 album title?
Achtung.
Correctum. You're on the board.
Did you say correctum?
Correctum. Yeah. It's a, you know, get that. I take a drug called Correctitol.
That would be a good drug.
CJ.
Ask your doctor if Correctitol is right for you.
CJ, category.
Science and nature, please.
Science and nature.
Side effects include extreme panting.
According to a Carnegie Mellon study, what diet reduces more greenhouse gas emissions than being a lavivore? I don't even know what a locavore. LOCAVORE. What is that?
No idea.
According to, we'll give you another question.
I would assume that would be like the farm to table thing.
I don't know.
Who knows?
You can't read it, you can't ask.
Next.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
You don't want D-Train doing a monologue, do you?
Science and nature. CJ, up,
yep.
Down, top, bottom, strange, and charm are varieties of what subatomic particle?
Hydrogen?
Incorrect. You can steal.
Can you repeat that? And you sure these questions are easier?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at, I just opened the package. I was assuming they were.
Well, you know what happens when you...
Yep. Up, down, top, bottom, strange, and charm are varieties of what subatomic particle?
Quarks.
You are correct.
Yeah, they are easy.
Science and nature.
Yeah,
and Haney, you stole and have control. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
History.
In history. All right, I asked that as the trial question for CJ. Here we go.
Three. Three is the answer to that question.
That's not the one we're using. What, Haney, in history, what was introduced first in the United States? Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi-Cola, or Squirt?
What was introduced first? Would you like the choices again?
No.
Okay.
I'm wondering, should I go with the obvious or am I being tricked?
Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi-Cola, or Squirt? Which was introduced first in the United States? I need an answer.
Dr. Pepper.
You are correct. It is Dr. Pepper. You got to get moving here,
so
CJ.
I so wanted to say Coke.
Yeah.
You're wide open. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. You have Karen as a lifeline.
Can I do entertainment?
You sure can do entertainment. This is interesting. Who was the first recurring vegetarian character on television? Who was the first recurring vegetarian character on television?
I'm going to go ahead and say Cookie Monster.
Incorrect. Haney Steele.
Maud.
Incorrect. It was Mr. Spock on Star Trek. He was Mr. Spock was a vegetarian. Haney, control, entertainment, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
I think I'm going to go ladies' choice.
Ooh.
What would you like?
Does he have entertainment?
It's available.
All right, let's do that.
All right. La-ta-ta. All right, in entertainment, Karen, this is for Haney. What two rappers were the most high-profile casualties of the East Coast-West Coast hip-hop feud of the 1990s?
Tupac and Biggie?
Yep!
Whoop, yes! Whoop.
Correct.
In thank you, Karen.
That was the easiest thing.
Told you these questions. Can I? Thank
that's
you.
Easy. Thank you. Thank you.
CJ, boy, you got catching up to do.
Pick
a category. I don't want 2 weeks in a row where nobody gets an answer.
You can do it.
Well, let's go with your lady's choice.
All right. You want Karen?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. What would you like?
Let's stick to entertainment.
Let's stick to entertainment. La da. According to Fountains of Wayne, whose mom has got it going on?
Stacy's mom.
You are right.
You're on fire today.
You are right. And CJ.
There you go, CJ.
CJ is on the board. Whoa. All right. Haney, arts and literature, sports and leisure.
I'll take farts and giggles.
Arts and literature. The Lego set for what famous mausoleum contains more than 5,900 pieces?
Taj Mahal?
You are absolutely correct in arts and literature.
It's a parent's nightmare.
Haney is now at match point.
I lost a piece.
Haney, you do not have control. CJ has control. But CJ, you need to get on the board. And then if Haney answers correctly his next round, he's going to win. So you've got to get going here. Now, if he misses the question, you can steal and the game will go on. But we're not there yet. He is at match
point. I think
point,
what you're
though.
Trying to do is to impart a sense of urgency.
Yeah, this yes. is, would be a good time to start to pulling it together. Geography, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
No wild card
in this edition.
He just wanted to hear it.
Thank you, Dietrich.
Exactly. Geography.
It's multiple choice. However, and Haney's got geography, so you can't. Oh, and it is not multiple choice. Hold on.
Check that.
Okay, here
Other
we go.
Other games tonight around Pittsburgh 3.
Yeah, and check that. In geography. What native rodent is an important source of protein
for many Peruvians?
Oh, that's, what are they called? Guinea pigs.
Yes, you are correct.
Good and job.
Nice job, CJ.
Thank you.
And geography taken care of. All right, Haney, you are at match point in the sports and leisure category. If you answer correctly, game over. If you answer wrong, CJ can steal, and he will also have control of the board. In sports and leisure, Haney, what nickname was given to NBA head coach Phil Jackson for his calm, philosophical approach?
Well, Zen.
I need the full. He was
read it again.
He was the leader. What nickname was given to NBA head coach Phil Jackson for his calm, philosophical approach?
Zen Master?
Yes!
Yeah!
Zen Master! Game over! Nice job, Haney.
I thought maybe we were going to get into the triangle and all that.
You can be all into Zen and stuff, but to be a Zen Master.
Shotokan.
Yeah, and the Shotokan and all that stuff. CJ, you were starting to come back, but you got your butt whipped by Haney.
Oh, my
God. You know what? And you got two right, and half of them, 50%, thanks to Karen.
My girl.
I'm going to put you on hold. Your choice, either Adventure Island or tickets to go see Weezer and the Pixies, okay?
Don't I have to say
yeah, you do have to. I was going to let that slide because I thought it was
He seems like a nice guy.
So obvious.
You don't want to embarrass him.
No, go ahead, say it.
Haney, I am by far nowhere near close to as smarter than you.
Aww.
That's a little wordy,
All right, except hold on there, CJ. Nice job today.
Thank you.
Nice
two
job.
For two.
I like this.
Oh, you like the fresh pack being opened up?
Yes.
Let's close the door on this baby, Haney.
You are stupid. I am smart. Know your role and simply play your part. I'm as shrewd as
you're
shrewd
finally getting to the cards where things might have occurred during our lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Thank you, Karen.
Of course, with pleasure.
In hand, now you finally start to understand. Nothing personal, that's just me. You've been schooled by Mark Haney.
We, the management of Beasley Broadcasting, would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station.
Please.
We'd like to, but we won't.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. We're going to check traffic here for you. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. But first, I got to go to D-Train for an update because we haven't checked today. On Friday, I went to an art class and did a painting.
Well, Stan, others there may have been attending a class.
Right.
With you there. Your effort was an exhibition.
Exactly. And I thought, all right, I've got this acrylic on canvas, and why not try to raise money for the Stan and Haney Draft Fund and put it on eBay, and it'll go to the highest bidder. We put a 10-day auction on it. I think there's still like 8 days to go on the thing. And you can see the item, the painting, up for bids on stanandhaney.com and also our Facebook page. Yesterday, the last time we checked, it was an even nifty 150, $150. What's it at now?
Currently, 38 bids.
Oh.
$162.50.
Again, all proceeds from the eBay auction will go to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. And our friend Aaron Walker down at Naples Nissan told me yesterday. He said, please, I hope they run that bidding up, because whatever the winning bid is that the person wins the painting, whatever the winning number is, he'll triple it
with a check to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund.
Are you sure he ran that by Chad first?
Chad is the one that makes all the decisions down there. You know what? Aaron's getting old, all right? And his son's really... He has two sons, but this Chad, I met both of them. They're great guys. Chad's the heir apparent, and what he says, I think, goes.
Well, that's why I wanted to make sure he ran it by
and
Chad.
I guess it's yes. Everything is good down there. Naples Nissan, whatever the final bid is on the painting that I created.
They'll match it.
They'll triple it.
Triple it?
Yeah, so what's the bid at now? What did you say it was at?
$162.50.
So even if it ended right now.
Somebody bid 50 cents more?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. $162.50.
Wonder if we're hitting the ceiling on that thing.
Three. We got it. Well, sure. Well, it's not until the end. That's when the big bidding starts. Even if it ended now, Aaron from Naples Nissan would be writing a check to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund for $487.50.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at this logically.
Yeah.
How much do you have into this painting?
How much do I have? $35. That's what I have into it. Supplies, class, paints. Mm-hmm.
And that's not including your labor, obviously.
And labor, Haney, labor of love. Labor of love. And
so the first 35 of that.
Yeah, that's overhead. But we want to get it as high as we can. It's on eBay. Oh, well, where do we find it on eBay? There's so many things. Yes, but we can take you directly to it. StanandHaney.com or the Stan and Haney Facebook page will take you right to the bidding. And hopefully it's going to be, you know, still a week to go on this thing. And hopefully we'll get some nice cash into the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. 100% of it is going to go into the fund.
We love it. Always a great day when Captain Lazaro comes down and starts handing out checks.
Yep. We've got to keep doing it. And, you know, it's obviously you wouldn't want it in your home, maybe the garage, maybe in the tool shed, but you're making a nice contribution to the
bathroom,
fund.
Yeah, perhaps.
We're not. Yeah, it'd be more like that. It's not a sofa-sized piece of art.
No, it's not. It's probably 8 by 24, like 8.5 inches across.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long painting.
But if you look at the painting, it's so much bigger than that because it's on an astronomical scale.
Yeah, well, one of the pictures on the eBay is me holding it so you can get scale. All right?
But the scale, you're depicting a supernova.
Yeah.
Which is billions or trillions of miles across.
It's very condensed. Okay.
But you're getting a lot of bang for your buck.
Exactly. There's a lot going on in the painting. And might I add, brilliant colors that'll fit into any decor. Let's get you updated on traffic.
And because it's art.
Yeah.
It can be whatever you want it to
That's
be.
That's right.
If you don't see a supernova there.
Yeah.
If you see, like I did, a wave or a tornado or a bug, it can be that.
Yep. Yep. Oh, someone just suggested, yes, if it would be a great thing to hang in your bathroom. Some bathroom art.
And you can pick a stand.
175.
All right. Let's see. Oh, Aaron Walker over at Naples Nissan is saying, what have I done?
Uh-huh.
Fort Myers got a crash on Fowler Street, the 3600 block. This is also Fort Myers. Crash Brantley Road and South Cleveland Avenue. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. You all right?
No.
What can you expect? Well, he's got it for you right now. He's got the headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you didn't know.
Okay.
Stan has already given me a write again, Haney, on this.
Mm-hmm.
I have encouraged everyone for years to watch the film Idiocracy. It's a great documentary about the future. And science has now determined it is indeed true. Human beings are getting dumber by the day.
Yep, fact.
There are things we're not even aware of when it comes to our perception. If I were to ask you what makes a woman attractive, you would have a set of answers.
Yes, like a beautiful figure.
But there are a lot of other things you're taking into consideration you may not even know about. Researchers say, and if you think about it, could be true, the way a woman walks is just as important to her sexual appeal as her looks.
Oh, I totally agree with that. You don't want some attractive woman walking like Vince McMahon into the ring.
Yep.
With that little march walk.
Yep. Ready to induct somebody into the Kiss My Ass Club.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's important.
Science has also determined having wrinkles around your eyes is good.
Well, and that's, I'm in a good category there because I got wrinkles, bags, you know, around the eye. Of course, the whites of my eyes like Rand McNally roadmaps.
If that's the case, then Bill Clinton's the picture of health.
Yeah.
A waitress is busted for skimming customers' credit cards on her first day. And finally, a woman robs her local CVS using a knife, but she has a perfectly reasonable excuse.
Really?
Yeah. We'll tell you what it is.
Oh, you won't tell me now?
No. Oh. That's not the purpose of this.
Oh, yeah. It's called a teaser.
Yeah, it's nothing personal, but that's the whole reason we do this.
It's a teaser.
Yep. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. It's so very important. Ah, there she is, Miss Menthol.
2017.
Yeah. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
D-Train.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
Kim Jong-un does not have a Twitter account.
He doesn't?
No. But you know what he does have?
What?
That one lady that comes up. He brought her out of retirement to talk about the summit.
Yep.
She's awesome. I've always loved her.
He's got his crew.
Yep. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tweets you'd see from Kim Jong-un if he were on Twitter.
Tweets you'd see from Kim Jong-un if he were on Twitter.
Who do I gotta kill to get some credit for being a peacemaker?
I know nothing. Nothing.
I told President Trump to stop calling me Rocket Man because my favorite is actually Tiny Dancer.
Great song. Great song.
If you're North Korean and you're not following me, you're in trouble. Sometimes I feel kind of bad about having my half-brother murdered. But not really. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. No.
Happy to exchange nukes for Burger Kings.
Hey!
Hey! I'm telling you, that young crown prince, he's really got it going on.
Yeah, yeah.
32 years old, and he shook them all down, got millions out of them, all those bastards over there. And he said, hey, no more. Top tweet you'd see from Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
Forget the White House and Mar-a-Lago. I want to go to hometown buffet.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce.
Very positive meeting, but can't wait to get back home and be photographed pointing at something.
Yeah, he does that a lot. He's always pointing at something. You don't know what it is, but he's pointing.
Woo!
You know, you gotta love his style. Because when he goes around in North Korea pointing at things, he also has a group of people that follow him everywhere, and one of them, they always have a pen in case he says something, they have to write it down.
And I don't know how many of you noticed when he was in Singapore, fresh haircut, fresh clip.
Yep, high and tight. How about this for a deal? I give up nukes. You keep Dennis Rodman.
No.
Gonna cry.
What to wear? Black button-up jacket or black button-up jacket? Hashtag too many options.
I don't know.
He wears those big baggy pants, too. Did you see when they were walking together? It's almost like he's wearing pajama bottoms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And elevator shoes.
Yep. Like his daddy.
And finally, the very top tweet you'd see from Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
The ladies in my country know me as Kim Jong-hung.
Love it.
And that, my friend, is Mark Lyon.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Freddie, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. That's the email address, ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
All right. You know, something I'm going to tell you right now, and I even went back to check before we started this segment. No letter from The Guardian today.
Woo!
Is he all right?
I don't know. I didn't.
We need a welfare check?
It might need a welfare check. He's got a big enough family. You know, if you send us an email every day, Guardian, about the Mueller kiss, you got to go and have somebody send a notice that you're not emailing me today. Because, you know, you get sensitive.
Well, ever since Dave called him a dick.
Yeah. There you go. Yep. Couple of short and sweet emails here. This is from Victoria. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Can you please give out your phone numbers more during contests?
What?
No.
They don't change.
I have been trying to win a bobblehead, and I don't know your phone number. Come on, I do it a bunch of times. I understand that people were griping, you know, if you're up north of us or down, the area code.
Who was writing this?
Victoria.
Can we just give Victoria a bobblehead?
No, no.
It can't be done.
No.
It's impossible?
No.
Okay.
No.
It can't be done. These things.
Is that part of the Iron Dome system?
It's the Iron Dome. You know what? We don't even know how many we got. It's just one of those things.
No, it's on a need-to-know basis.
Open up a closet and there's a wall full of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where did these come from? So, Victoria, but to keep trying, 277-9600 is the phone number. I mean, how hard is that? This is from Phil. Phil writes, ahoy, guys. Stan, I was listening to Law Talk yesterday. And you should not apologize to Carla when you called her Carl. You should have told her to back off on it, Paul Mall.
Son of a...
That is something you would have said, Stan, 10 years ago. Hello, doll. Don't apologize, Stan. I actually thought the same thing when she first spoke during that segment yesterday. Well, I'm Carl,
it was probably
I'm sorry.
The phone she's using.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Don't talk like a jerk.
This is from Greg. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I'm a longtime listener to the show. I love the show. Stan, you've been getting soft. You need to go back to busting Dave the Waterman's chops every time he's in there. I think it is so funny. I love Fry Dave's. Guys, keep up the great work. Stan and Haney, number one, signed Greg. Thank you, Greg. I'll try my best. If I may have been slipping the past. Well, every time he comes in here, he tells me not today. If not Friday, when it's the only day he's in here, what day? What? Not today, Stan. Oh, I can't talk about this on the air. I can't talk about that on the air.
Well, you know, I think people might be reacting because D-Train caught you.
Caught me what? Whoa. I want that down. That I'm driving down, minding my own beeswax. Oh, by the way, this is so cheap, and we can do it on Friday when Dave's here. And I got into a big debate with my girlfriend about it, that it should be easy. She said it is absolutely not, and it's all over the internet. The 6 saltine challenge. 6 saltine crackers in a minute. It can't be done. I told her, I'm going to take it to 7 just to be safe. I think I could sit here and eat 6 saltine crackers in a minute. No water, nothing. You just got to eat 6 saltines in 1 minute. They say it can't be done. Businesses use this for like their little challenges and stuff. And I'm like, 6 saltines? I'd do that in a sitting.
I was thinking about seeing how many sandwiches he could eat.
No, that means a loaf of bread. That means meat or something on there. I mean, who?
No, the sandwiches were going to be just some peanut butter, hot sauce, and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Peanut butter, hot sauce.
Who are these type of people who think it's a great idea to go shopping at a gas station barefoot? A freaking good... What? Stan? What are you listening to? Busted.
I want that down. I like the sandwiches. I like saltines. We can go to a restaurant and get the packages of saltines for free.
So you don't like the peanut butter, hot sauce, and mayonnaise sandwich?
I do. We got to get some super hot sauce. A little mayo on there.
Peanut butter, hot sauce, and mayonnaise sandwiches.
And see how many he can eat.
Mm-hmm. The saltines on the side.
The saltines. Okay. We're going to take a
That'll
break.
Be the middle bun.
Yeah. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain? Then why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, yeah? Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home here in just a second. Also, I'm going to promote the Cat Daddy tournament that's coming up this weekend. And I'm doing it out of protest simply because suddenly D-Train and I haven't been getting the love that we normally get from this Cat Daddy tournament.
Do what now?
Let me explain something. The last 3 years, this is the third annual, so I've been there for 3 years. They did another tournament, like some kind of redfish mm-hmm. tournament before. And I say to the organizer of this, who works in the building,
hey, can you get us a boat so we can go out fishing that day?
I'm on it, man.
And every year we get a, who took us out last year?
Captain Kyle.
Captain Kyle. Had a great time. He got compensated. I gave him a little, both of us gave him a little backhand of cash. And I said to this organizer for the Cat Daddy, hey, get us on the boat. We want to do some fishing. We'll be there for the awards and stuff like that. So far, what does he say?
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Don't worry, I'm on it. I asked him about 3 weeks ago to get this set up.
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Don't worry, I'm on it. So then I get my program director, Jeff Zito. Hey, are you going to even do anything with this Cat Daddy? I said, whoa. All I get is I'm on it. I'd like to be there. I want to be there. I want to catch some fish. What does he say?
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Because let's be fair, the first year, everybody went out and fished, and you sat and twiddled your thumbs at the table all day.
Yep. And I said, I'm doing this again, I want to be out fishing.
You want to be part of the action.
And it was great. I'm saying it again this year. And what does he say?
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Yeah, and I haven't heard nothing, and it's this weekend. Son of a bitch.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see. We've got North Fort Myers. Crash. Barrett Road and Northeast Pine Island Road. And this one is in Fort Myers. Crash, Daniels Parkway and State Road 82. Under protest for me until I get a boat where D-Train and I can go fishing. The third annual Coastal Outfitters Cat Daddy Challenge at Port Sanibel Marina this Saturday, June 16th. Nice place. $5,000 cash up for grabs, plus raffles, silent auction, awards banquet, which I would like to participate in and hand out some awards. But right now, it's up at what? What does he say?
Don't worry, I'm on.
Yeah. Captain's meeting this Friday at Rusty's in Cape Coral. It's powered by Victory Lane Chevrolet. You want to sign up and participate? Go to 96krock.com. I know the organizer, and he's, what does he say?
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Yeah. Jeez, give me a break. Oh, you got to get out there and push this thing. I said, I'm telling you, I've been behind this thing every year. This year, you know what I say? I want to be there. Get me on a boat. What does he say?
Don't worry, I'm on it.
I'm on it. Okay, why? Who's calling? Ahoy.
Hey!
Hey, Tony D'Amico, Cape Crapin' Chowder. What do you want? I'm in a bad mood. You got a boat? You got a boat I can go fishing on?
Well, he's a captain, of course.
Yeah,
he has a boat.
Captain.
Oh, my God. Last time that I had a boat, it was actually seized when they parted passing these lures where they could just take your boat just because you're running guns.
Yeah, all back in the day. That's why you had to leave Cape May, New Jersey.
Well, that's how I ended up here. I made a lot of good friends here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, then it became more about small planes.
Yeah, if you could. Now, I know it's been a lot of years since you've actually been on the water, but if you were, could you drive a boat? Do you know how to follow the navigation and all that?
Oh, yeah, but the first thing that you do is extinguish all running lights and run at a high rate of speed.
That's if you're smuggling guns.
See, people don't know the history around here. You know who was the best at that?
Who?
A guy down, he run out of Everglades City by the name of Toch Brown.
That's true. He had a book written about him.
Those guys all the cops tried to chase him. They was chasing their own tail. Nobody better.
Yeah. All right. What do you? What? I'm sorry. I was just talking about something else, and you happened to call and ruin everything.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But what do you want?
Oh, I was just calling in to say we're all doomed.
We're all doomed. What are you talking? What do you mean we're all doomed? At what? Earthquake? What?
Worse.
Lava flows.
I thought we were safe here in this area.
From what?
It's finally happened.
What?
Jimmy Buffett.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What are you talking about, Jimmy Buffett? What? Jimmy Buffett in this area? What?
He's taken over.
Oh, that's right. I just saw in the paper the other day they got approval on Fort Myers Beach to build some, like, Margaritaville resort. You know, he'll probably shut down everybody.
I figure my days are numbered because you can't compete with it.
You're in Cape Coral. You're not on Fort Myers Beach. You can't compete in Cape Coral with what they got going on. What are you worried about Jimmy Buffett for?
Nah, it's a proven fact. When Jimmy Buffett goes into a town, all the small businesses shut down.
Well, it's true. You know, a lot of people think, oh, Jimmy Buffett, Mr. Margaritaville, Turtlehead, and all that stuff, Parrothead.
Turtlehead.
That he's just a fun-loving guy. This is one of the most litigious people on the face of the earth and drives everybody out.
He is a Buffett.
I do not understand how this man basically was living as a professional drunk down in the Keys.
Yep.
He writes a song recorded in 1974 called Margaritaville.
Yep. Wasted away again in Margaritaville.
And somehow that song takes over the effing world.
Well, he made it, he copyrighted that. It's resorts, restaurants, shirts, everything's Margaritaville. And don't you, as an average mom and popper, try to go and use that. We actually had on this show one time, somebody out in the desert had a Margaritaville cafe that was open since the 20s, and he went and shut them down.
It wasn't, it was called the Margarita Grills.
Yeah, shut them down.
Oh, I know the horror stories. Believe me, us small businessmen, we get together and we talk.
Oh, yeah. Who are you talking to? Who amongst the Cape Coral crowd are you talking to?
Well, it's a long shot. I'm probably not going to win.
Yeah, well, you're going to try something? You're going to try to fight it?
Well, I was talking with some other small business owners.
Never get a name out of you, though.
I'm not at liberty to say.
All right, whatever.
But I brought it to the table, and I said my sources inform me it's finally happened. Jimmy Buffett's coming to town.
Yep.
Of course, you go around the table, and everybody is, we're doomed. And people saying, you know, mother,
Well, that I would think on Fort Myers Beach, yeah.
And somebody will yell out that son of a bitch.
like son of a sailor. Yeah, sure. Yep.
And everybody was just ready to throw in the towel. And I said, I only got one shot left. There's only one man who could possibly compete with Jimmy Buffett.
Only one man. So you're looking to maybe compete with one man. Who is this one man?
It's a long shot, and I'm going to need all the investors I can get. But I think you probably know there's one man who can out-Buffett Jimmy Buffett.
Who?
Coconut Pete.
Coconut Pete. It's going to out Jimmy Buffett Jimmy Buffett.
You know, in another world, another dimension, if you will, Margaritaville never became a big hit. The big hit was Pina Coladaberg.
What are you talking about? What am I listening to? What is this?
Listen.
Because I spend all my days here. You would too, if you knew what I know.
Pina Colada.
By a tropical tree. Suck straight from the coconut's teeth. When it's just right, it makes your short hairs grow. Got a hole in my straw hat. Two tires on my Jeep flat.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe today I'll stay out of the sun. But the ladies are flocking.
What are you planning to do with this?
I'm thinking you go big or go home.
With Coconut Pete.
Yes. A Coconut Pete branded property.
First of all, you're going to go and try to compete with him by being a direct ripoff.
It's not a ripoff. Coconut Pete has his own followers.
And you're going to... But it's the same theme.
So, we'll let the public decide. If I can get the funding, we're going to build a Pina Colada-themed resort right across from Margaritaville.
You don't understand. Margaritaville is going to be on both sides of the street.
Oh.
And you're in Cape Coral. You're in Cape Coral, old man. You can't even compete with the people in Cape Coral.
I don't understand how Jimmy Buffett gets away with everything he gets away with.
He's a multi-millionaire.
Because you say anything about a margarita, he goes, oh, I own that.
Yeah.
I own that.
Yeah.
I own that.
Yeah.
And it used to be he was selling Corona beer, which is fine because everybody's got it.
I understand
then,
that.
Then he says, you know what? That's not enough money for me, Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett needs to come up with his own Jimmy Buffett beer. What should we call it? Let's call it Land Shark. And he steals that from Saturday Night Live, and nobody says nothing.
Yeah, remember when the Dolphins used to have to play at Land Shark Stadium, and they'd play the Finns song?
Oh my God, that damn stadium! Joe Robbie's rolling over in his grave. They named it after a bankrupt sports apparel company. After a couple of months at Jimmy Buffett Stadium, for crying out loud.
Okay, so what are you asking? You're calling me and telling me this, that you want Coconut Pete-themed places, and you got the Pina Colada song and all this stuff. What do you want? What are you going to do?
Well, I figure you're in show business. Coconut Pete hasn't been seen in many years. You know where he is?
No, I honestly haven't thought about Coconut Pete. I think about, you know, now that Jimmy Buffett's got a place, he's usually top of mind, and not Coconut Pete. It's a direct ripoff.
What if he was first? Pina Coladaberg was first.
He claims it does.
Do you know that Jimmy Buffett even has Margaritaville boat shoes?
Plastic Chinese crap.
So is everybody on Cape Coral as worried as you are?
Everybody's probably more worried than me. At least I got Timmy to take care of me. What's wrong with you, by the way? You got a following. How come you don't have no lifestyle brand?
Don't even, old man. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Do we know that we'll be rocking to a day?
The big station 93BLX. It is the Gulf Coast number one for hip hop and R&B. And now with Ray Ray and Miranda, the home team in the morning. Do it to it. What better song to do it to it? It's I Nutted the Move Set. And I told you I had a very important announcement. And here it is. I refuse to walk around and watch people on my job looking over my shoulder. People lying to me, people talking about me. It's ridiculous. It is sad. I can't take it. I'm not gonna take it. I don't have to take it. I'm not a dummy. I know how to find another job. But I refuse to walk around people. You can say what you want to say about me. And if you see me on the street, I'll let you know whatever you want to know. But I refuse. For the last 6 years, I made $6 an hour. That ain't nothing. I just got a raise after 6 years. I know I'm qualified, and after saying this, I don't care if I ever get another job in radio, period. It does not matter to me. But Ineta will not be setting the mood at BLX no more. I refuse to walk around with people that'll speak to you. Hey, Ineta, how you doing? But then as soon as you walk by that bitch, I will not do it to myself anymore. So if you're confused by what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Hey, this is Ineta the Mood Setter. You're just listening to my homeboys, and nobody sets the mood like Stan and Haney.
Next on Locked Up Abroad, two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney.
I love Ineta.
She is a mood setter. Hey, Ineta.
That bitch. That's radio in a nutshell.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It most certainly is. Stan and Haney, for the life of me, I can't figure out why Tony D'Amico is worried about Jimmy Buffett on Fort Myers Beach when he can't even keep his place open on Cape Coral.
I gotta say, though, I do love Coconut Pete. Can we hear some more of that?
A little bit more. You got a little more Coconut Pete for us there, D-Train? What a innovator.
Coconut Pete caught a bad break,
he
man.
He sure did.
I don't know why Jimmy Buffett and not Coconut Pete.
Well,
Pina Colada Berg is a better song than Margaritaville.
Whatever. It's okay.
You don't think it's better than Margaritaville?
It didn't capture a nation.
Because I spend all my days here. You would too if you knew what I know.
Pina Colada.
A tropical tree. Sucked straight from the coconut's teeth. It's just right. It makes your short hairs grow. Got a hole in my straw hat.
Two tires on my Jeep flap.
Those are the brakes.
Maybe today I'll stay out of the sun. But the ladies are flocking. That means it's time to start cocking. That brain freeze nectar. Fills my gun. Hoisted another glass in Pina Colada Berg.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Oh, and by the way, the clock is on with this organizer for the Cat Daddy Challenge. I'm telling you right now, the clock is running.
You know, I'm sensing hurt feelings.
What does he say every time I ask him?
Don't worry, I'm on it.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if I'm there on Saturday. Because if I ain't fishing, I ain't there.
You got to do the Trump thing.
What?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Cat Daddy Challenge.
It would be a crying shame if you weren't, involved.
Yeah,
but
we'll see what happens. We had a good time last year, didn't we, D-Train?
Fantastic time. Yeah. Brought home fish,
but
made fish tacos.
Times change. We'll see what happens.
Lehigh Acres crash, Calvin Coolidge Avenue at Delaware Road. And in North Fort Myers crash, Barrett Road and Northeast Pine Island Road. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
From News Headquarters, this is the Evening News with Dan Rather substituting for Walter Cronkite.
Coconut
Pete's
dead.
Dan in Washington, Ike Pappas, Marvin Kalb, Bob Schieffer,
probably one of the reasons
Roger
why
Mudd,
not a lot of
Daniel
competition.
Shore, Terry Drinkwater at Camp Pendleton, California, David Dick in Niceville, Florida, and Roy Caron in Marshalltown, Iowa.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, June 13th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for some things you did not know.
All right.
We were fortunate enough to get to spend some time with the legendary Les Paul.
Yes. Yes, we did.
And I can tell you, as a guitar player, if you're not intimidated when you're talking to Les Paul, there's something wrong with you. We did not get the chance to speak to Leo Fender, though.
No, we didn't.
I don't know if I'd be intimidated or not, because Leo Fender, the man who invented the Fender Stratocaster, couldn't play the guitar.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Then how did he go and invent it? What knowledge did he have for creating one of the iconic guitars of all time?
Woodworking, electronics.
Oh, he probably knew how to do some woodworking, and there he is. He's holding it like he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I must create this.
Yeah.
So that Hendrix can change the world.
Yeah, and then he took the original home and made a beautiful piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because it's that good.
Remember that lady at the shopping club that said, you don't even have to play. She was selling guitars. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to play a guitar. This is so beautiful. It can be a piece of furniture in your home.
Yeah. And Esteban said, oh, absolutely. Whatever you want to hear.
Jesse, can you see when people walk into a living room and see a guitar, it automatically changes the mood of the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful piece of furniture.
Yep. Yeah, you hear some crazy stuff on those shopping channels.
Yep.
Different thought process.
Yep.
There you go, Stan. Look at this.
Ah, I see a box of Kleenex.
Oh, I can see why you'd say that, but no. This is art. How does it make you feel?
Makes me feel like if I have a cold, there's something nearby.
It's security, isn't it?
It is. And look at what this one. Not all Kleenex do that. Pop-up tissues, individual tissues that'll pop up. Take one out. You're going to have to go in there and dig. No.
Hold on.
It's going to pop a tissue, another tissue.
Can
right
I try
one.
That?
Sure. Go ahead and try it.
Now, I never realized.
Now, the one that Mark Haney is holding is called the Holiday Blue.
That is just gorgeous.
We also have it in plum, cranberry, and mystic orange.
And if you notice what they've done here, Stan, you have the blue of the sky and the blue of the ocean.
Yeah, kind of gives it a seashore effect.
It's almost like you're going on vacation
when
you have this box of tissues with you.
You know, and they're so soft and the colors, you feel like you are. You're at the shoreline.
And look at that. There's a little hint of yellow, if you can see it there.
Yeah.
That reminds me of sunshine.
It sure does.
Blue sky, sunshine and water. What could be better?
Oh, you can be out boating.
And you can have this right there in your home.
Yeah. If I had a boat for the Cat Daddy Challenge at Port Sanibel Marina on June 16th.
I had a boat one time.
Yeah. You know, but when you're promised by one of the organizers and nothing's happened and they're telling you, you got to push it. I said, well, I've been trying to. And they keep, every time I go up to him, he keeps saying,
don't worry, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, get on it, son of a bitch.
I'm on it.
You and I have done our best to learn a little bit about investing.
A little bit. We don't have the big hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest, but we poke around a little bit.
What is the most successful American industry for investors going all the way back to 1900?
The only thing that I can think of is it has to be a vice of some sort, because I had an investor tell me a long time, times good, times bad, invest in gambling, smoking, drinking, because it always sells. A vice. I don't know what one.
The most successful American industry for investors since 1900 is tobacco.
A vice.
Annual returns of almost 15% every single year since 1900.
Yep.
Saddam Hussein.
Remember him?
Misunderstood man.
He kept Law and Order.
Or just finding out what a good job he did.
Yep.
But, you know, sure, you see him wearing his general's uniforms, you know, being a dictator, shooting shotguns at a crowd.
Yep. Remember that? He used to take it out and just shoot it.
Yep. And they'd just go wild cheering for him.
Yep.
He was a big fan of Scarface.
Who isn't?
See? Relatable guy.
Yeah, Tony Montana.
As a matter of fact, one of the companies he set up to launder money, he called Montana Management after Tony Montana.
Montana.
We're very sensitive these days, and you found it even on our own show. You go back far enough, you have to start editing.
Mm-hmm.
Things that were okay then are not okay now. Then.
Correct.
You would think that when it comes to cartoons like Tom and Jerry, couldn't be anything in Tom and Jerry that wouldn't be okay.
Something that tells me back in those days, those cartoons, anything went.
There was an episode of Tom and Jerry that aired in 1956 that might not be accepted today. In this particular episode, Tom and Jerry were both depressed over their girlfriends leaving them.
Aww.
So they did the only thing they could do.
What's that?
They sat down on the train tracks to commit suicide. The episode ends with the sound of the train barreling towards them.
As they're on the train tracks.
Yep. Stan, you know your presidents without a doubt.
Oh, look.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I think it's awesome.
I do, too.
That's how you learn.
Yeah. And do you know how many millions of kids watched it and nothing happened to them?
Nope. Wasn't until they went and were indoctrinated into Marxism in college that things really went south.
It wasn't until people started going, adults starting to tell children, do you know what this is? Do you know what's going on? They're killing themselves. And the kid gets all scared.
But I thought it was a cartoon.
Yeah.
No, it's not a cartoon. You know your presidents like nobody's business.
I'd like to think I do.
At any given point in history, Stan, what is the most amount of living presidents that we've ever had?
I mean, with somebody in office, but past presidents still alive. What's the most?
Yeah, that have presidents of the United States alive at one point in time.
Including the current sitting president. Or,
yes.
I don't know, five or six, I would guess. I know that for the, what was the last one that I remember really big where there was a bunch of living ones? Nixon was still alive and Clinton was president. There was a bunch of them. There's a lot. I think there's a good chunk now that are still floating around.
You are correct.
Wait a second. Let's hold on. Well, the oldest is Jimmy Carter. I mean, longest in serving is Jimmy Carter. Then we got Reagan is dead. Then Bush Senior, Bush 43, Clinton, Obama, Trump.
You are correct.
That, all alive.
That makes six. And there have never been more than six living presidents at any point in American history.
Wow. I think it might have been the Reagan Library opening up. And you had Nixon, you had Clinton, You had Reagan, Ford. Yeah. Bush. He wasn't president. Yeah, Bush, 41. I don't know.
I've been telling the public for years to watch a certain documentary by Mike Judge. It's called Idiocracy, and it offers you a glimpse into the future.
It is so stupid.
Well, that's the point.
I know.
And Stan has doubted me on this and said, no, that's not right. It's a bad movie. It's untrue.
I still stand by it.
Well, you're wrong again, Stan. And earlier today, you said right again,
yeah,
Haney.
Because it's evolving to that. We're not there yet, I don't think.
Researchers in Norway studied IQ tests from men born between 1962 and 1991. And they have found that every generation was dumber than the one before it by about 7 IQ points.
That's significant. That's significant. And so you're dealing with at least 3 generations there. You're dealing with 21 points on an IQ chart.
Well, why is this happening?
Somebody with 100 IQ suddenly is 79. That gets you into special classes.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you might imagine, researchers were concerned with their findings. And they went to work to try to figure out why. And when they accounted for all possible factors, 3 things really stood out as problems.
Lead paint.
The quality of education is getting worse all the time.
I believe it.
Nutrition is getting worse all the time.
That's right, because back in the old days, you had farmers, you ate fresh vegetables.
And every generation has more and more exposure to the media, which is god-awful, and we're a big part of that.
For years.
There is one bit of optimism in the middle of all this, though.
What?
People can improve their IQ, especially when they're teenagers. That's why I quit school.
Yeah. Couldn't get any higher than it was.
Yeah. And I got immediately just much, much smarter. You see, this is how the brain is supposed to
sit. It sits right here. It's not straight up. It's not for. It sits. It's almost like it just sits there like it's meant to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, 100 IQ down to 79. Sounds like Dave.
She liked to drink?
She liked to drug. What?
In a moment.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Well, it turns out that for the ladies, the key to being sexy isn't just having a pretty face, a smoking body, or a cigarette in her hand, and a gigantic lower back tattoo. There's more to it.
No, nothing more sexier than a woman with a cigarette in her hand.
According to a new study, the way a woman walks is just as important to overall sexiness as her looks.
I totally agree.
Researchers say that most other studies on attractiveness simply had people look at pictures. They had people watch videos.
Yeah.
And it made a significant difference.
Yeah, there's a difference between a beautiful walk and somebody with a peg leg.
Or that McMahon stomp.
Yeah, that McMahon stomp. Yes!
They found people were more likely to find a woman attractive if, quote, she wiggles her hips and takes small steps.
Damn right.
Ba-doom, yep. Ba-doom, yep. Ba-doom.
Little lady feet, little tippy-toe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dainty.
Yeah, dainty.
Researchers say they're not exactly sure why a woman's walk is so important, but they believe it's probably a biological clue, quote, at her fitness and age, which are key components of reproductive health.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you can't trust a waitress who was hired mainly for her jiggling abilities, who can you trust?
Yeah.
A 34-year-old woman named Rachel Tyler was recently hired by the Twin Peaks in Oklahoma City.
Must have been a courtesy hire. 34 at Twin Peaks? Come on.
Last chance.
Right. Last chance.
And her first shift was on Thursday. Just hours after she started, her manager caught her using a skimmer to steal customers' credit card information.
How do you, you know what, and I know it goes on. How do you get into a racket like that? You know, you walk around with a skimmer, and then obviously you got to get these numbers, what, to your crackhead boyfriend?
I can help you, Stan. Picture every time we've had a porn star come in here.
Yeah.
Who's with them?
Their boyfriend slash manager.
Wearing those boots.
Yep.
It's him. It's that guy.
Yep, and she doesn't want to break up with him because she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the makeup around her black eye.
Yep, and if anybody brings it up, she'll say, well, you're not perfect either.
Yep. And he'll tell her, baby, you do what I do. There's a lot of money for me.
Well, suffice it to say, that was the end of her brief career. She was arrested on one felony count of unlawful use of a computer.
Yeah, there she is. She's on something. He's got her on something. Some kind of...
Well, it's all about control, yeah, isn't it?
Pill head or something there. Look at her. You know, they use that one. Whenever they go and show somebody busted... They don't necessarily use the best picture. Usually it's a mugshot.
Looks like one eye's bigger than the other.
I bet you. And she's ready for another dye job because I see dark roots, a lot of dark roots.
Yeah, let me try an experiment, Stan. Tell me how it works.
Okay, go
ahead. I'm going to see if I can pretty her up.
Okay, try to pretty her up.
How's that?
Well, the angle that you're at, I can't. I got to look this way. Okay.
I think it's better.
And well, let me look at the other side. Yes, it is. One side of her face is more attractive than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you take two of the right side of her face and put them together to make the left side. She's probably a very attractive woman for 34.
Mm-hmm. In the right lighting, she can be attractive.
She's on something. There's got to be some kind of website where she's, you know, really trying to pretty it up.
I bet she's huffing duster.
Yes! Yep! Paint? I don't know what the heck.
Nah, you'd see the paint.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, what do you do if you're caught red-handed committing a crime?
Deny it.
A 33-year-old woman named Rosaria DeAngelo went to the CVS in beautiful Pittston, Pennsylvania last week.
Where the hell is Pittston?
You don't want to know.
It's got to be near Pittsburgh? Pittston?
It could be a trick.
What do you mean?
Because that would make too much sense.
Yeah. It's probably way over the other side, near Philly.
Mm-hmm. So this 33-year-old broad goes into the CVS last week and stole a battery charger.
She stole what?
A battery charger.
Okay.
And when an employee saw her, she pulled a knife.
Smooth.
The police came, and Rosaria explained to them, you're going to laugh. It's not what you think. It's not that I'm stealing stuff and pulling knives and all that. No, they got it all wrong. She wasn't robbing the CVS at knife point.
No.
Don't be silly. It was all just a social experiment that went horribly wrong. Now, as far as we know,
yeah,
this woman isn't a scientist. She is not a psychologist or even an aspiring YouTuber trying to make a prank show, so the police were not interested in her excuse, and she was arrested for felony robbery and misdemeanor assault, weapons possession, and theft.
What's her deal? What do we got here?
Well, I can tell you, Piston yeah, is located southwest of Scranton.
Scranton?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You know what they say, better to be pissed off.
Isn't Scranton near New Jersey, Zito?
PA.
Yeah, I know, but it's near the New Jersey line, isn't it, Scranton?
Sure.
Hey. He'll just, whatever yeah, you want to
yeah,
hear.
Yeah, that's where he's from, Jersey. They know everything. Everything's an exit.
I meant to look it up. Go ahead and outro.
I'm just, what's her deal?
You're kind of doe-eyed.
Yeah. Is her face crooked?
Well, no. It's an extreme angle because she's trying to avoid what the other girl was going through. Where that's her angle. She's figured out where she looks the best.
Gotcha.
And she has to contort her neck and her head.
To get it at that angle.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And I got some homework for D-Train.
Oh.
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, June 13th.
Double M XV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news.
You remember years ago, the Reverend Speaker Gerald Polly warned us about California.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah.
If you are within the sound of my voice and you're in California, leave immediately.
Why?
I saw a story today. It's not being widely covered. And I'd like, because D-Train knows firearms, a guy in California was attempting to comply with California gun laws to register his firearm.
Mm-hmm.
It resulted in the police kicking down his door, confiscating his weapons, and he's now on like at least 6 felony charges. And they interviewed, I don't know if it was his lawyer, but a lawyer that said, yeah, it's probably best if you're in California not to try and comply with their laws because they change almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is California doesn't want you having guns. Right. So if you try to comply, you're likely to get yourself in trouble.
Jeez. Take a break. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
6 felonies from a guy trying to, hey, I want to follow the law.
Every once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Don't worry about our bad mood. You've got Roger Marley to worry about coming in at 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on the air. Oh, is he in a bad mood? No. Mild-mannered. in the building. Just, it's unacceptable. I might have to go and report him.
Yeah. I haven't been as intimidated by somebody ever since that Marv Hammerman.
Yup.
Remember when he was after us?
Sure do.
I think they made an after-school special out of that.
Yep.
Look it up.
Bullying and intimidation.
Huh. Marv Hammerman's after me.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Roger Marley comes in through that studio door.
Surprised it's still on the hinges.
Yep. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. Fort Myers, crash. South Tamiami Trail, the 16,000 block. Good luck. Now, I think this is the same crash. They're just calling it something different. Because in Fort Myers, there's a crash. Cypress Lake Drive at Lake Breeze Drive, which is in the 1400 block of Summerlin Road section. But then I have a crash, Cypress Lake Drive in Summerlin Road, in the same sector as the one that had the nice name, Lake Breeze Drive. I'll stick with that. Lake Breeze.
Right. It'd be nice if there was a lake there.
Yep, but there isn't. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Did you know there were black people in England? Did you know? We are everywhere. I know, from London, England, born and raised. Obviously, black people are not indigenous to England. My mum came from Nigeria, West Africa. No, don't cheer that. She went from Nigeria to England. My mum had the pick of the globe. She could have gone anywhere in the world. Imagine my mum in Nigeria with all her maps spread out before her. Where shall I go? Where shall I go? You know what? I am fed up with the sunshine. I want to go somewhere with a lot of drizzle and subtle racism. That's what I want, subtle. Because I don't know if you know this, Americans, but the Brits are the best at racism. They're so good, you don't even know you're being discriminated against. They are ninja racist.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this.
Hey,
Tony D'Amico, Cape Crape and Chowder. What do you want?
I thought we were safe here in this area.
From what?
It's finally happened.
What?
Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, that's right. I just saw in the paper the other day they got approval on Fort Myers Beach to build some, like, Margaritaville resort. You know, he'll probably shut down everybody.
I figure my days are numbered because you can't compete with it.
You're in Cape Coral.
I do not understand how this man basically was living as a professional drunk down in the Keys.
Yep.
He writes a song recorded in 1974 called Margaritaville.
Yep.
And somehow that song takes over the effing world. Well, I was talking with some other small business owners.
You never get a name out of you, though.
I brought it to the table, and I said, my sources inform me it's finally happened. Jimmy Buffett's coming to town.
Yep.
Of course, you go around the table, and everybody is, we're doomed. And people saying, you know, mother. I only got one shot left. There's only one man who could possibly compete with Jimmy Buffett.
One man. Who is this one man?
It's a long shot, and I'm going to need all the investors I can get. But I think you probably know there's one man who can out-Buffett Jimmy Buffett.
Who?
Coconut Pete.
Coconut Pete. What are you talking about? What am I listening to? What is this?
Listen.
'cause I spend all my days here. You would too if you knew what I know.
Pina colada,
a tropical tree, sucked straight from the coconut's teeth. When it's just right, it makes your short hairs grow. Got a hole in my straw hat, two tires on my Jeep flat.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe today I'll stay out of the sun. But the ladies are flocking.
What are you planning to do with this?
I'm thinking you go big or go home.
With Coconut Pete.
Yes. A Coconut Pete branded property.
First of all, you're going to go and try to compete with him by being a direct ripoff.
It's not a ripoff. Coconut Pete has his own followers.
And you're going to... But it's the same theme.
So, we'll let the public decide. If I can get the funding, we're going to build a Pina Coladaberg-themed resort right across from Margaritaville.
You don't understand. Margaritaville is going to be on both sides of the street.
Oh.
And you're in Cape Coral. You're in Cape Coral, old man. You can't even compete with the people in Cape Coral.
I don't understand how Jimmy Buffett gets away with everything he gets away with.
He's a multi-millionaire.
Because you say anything about a margarita, he goes, oh, I own that.
Yeah.
I own that.
Yeah.
I own that.
Yeah.
And it used to be he was selling Corona beer, which is fine because everybody's got it.
I understand
then,
that.
Then he says, you know what? That's not enough money for me, Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett needs to come up with his own Jimmy Buffett beer. What should we call it? Let's call it Land Shark. And he steals that from Saturday Night Live, and nobody says nothing.
Yeah, remember when the Dolphins used to have to play at Landshark Stadium, and they'd play the Finn song?
Oh, my God, that damn stadium. Joe Robbie's rolling over in his grave. They named it after a bankrupt sports apparel company. After a couple of months at Jimmy Buffett Stadium, for crying out loud.
Okay, so what are you asking? You're calling me and telling me this, that you want Coconut Pete-themed places, and you got the Pina Colada song and all this stuff. What do you want? What are you going to do?
Well, I figure you're in show business. Coconut Pete hasn't been seen in many years. You know where he is?
No, I honestly haven't thought about Coconut Pete. I think about, now that Jimmy Buffett's got a place, he's usually top of mind. And not Coconut Pete. It's a direct ripoff.
What if he was first? Pina Coladaberg was first.
He claims it does.
Do you know that Jimmy Buffett even has Margaritaville boat shoes?
Plastic Chinese crap.
So is everybody on Cape Coral as worried as you are?
Everybody's probably more worried than me. At least I got Timmy to take care of me. What's wrong with you, by the way? You got a following. How come you don't have no lifestyle brand?
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.